بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. First and foremost, we send praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah, our cherisher, our nourisher, our sustainer, our creator. And we send durood and salutations upon the final messenger, the best of the messengers, the best of all creation, our noble master, none other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for having made us fortunate to have seen once again this auspicious month of Ramadan, that Allah ta'ala kept us alive and well and made us see once more the beauty and the blessings of this beloved month of Ramadan that is now drawing to a close. Allah has been so merciful that this is such a month where Allah Ta'ala puts in measures in order for us to come closer to Him. Allah Ta'ala creates such a beautiful spiritual atmosphere in this beautiful month of Ramadan that we feel closer to our Creator. We want to draw closer to Him. We want to do all those amal and actions that please our Creator. We want to remove ourselves and distance ourselves from all those actions that incur the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has set the tone for us in this month to secure our forgiveness. Allah is willing to forgive us. Allah's mercy surpasses His anger. Inna rahmati sabaqad ghadabi. That Allah Ta'ala's mercy overwhelms His anger. And in this particular month, to which the curtains are coming down now, Allah Ta'ala forgives many, many people, countless of people. Allah does not wish to punish us. Allah wishes to forgive us. And for that He has set up measures. Suffilat ash-shayateen. In this month Allah Ta'ala puts the shayateen under lock and chain, so that they do not lead astray the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this month, ghulliqat abwaabun nar. Allah Ta'ala closes the doors of Jahannam, indicating that in this month, Allah Ta'ala does not want you and I to go into Jahannam. Allah wants to grant us emancipation, amnesty from the fire of Jahannam. Futihat abwaabul jannah. In this month, Allah Ta'ala keeps open the doors of Jannah, indicating that He is urging us on, that, oh my servants, come, enter the doors of Jannah. I am prepared to forgive you. Allah Ta'ala spurs us on. And Allah Ta'ala puts into place such ibadat in this month that we do not do throughout the rest of the year. The fasting in the month of Ramadan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah has made this fasting also conducive towards earning the forgiveness of our Creator. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانْ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. That he who keeps fast in this month of Ramadan with sincere faith, with genuine hope of receiving reward, Allah Ta'ala forgives his sins. Allah wipes his slate clean. وَمَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانْ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The added ibadat in this month, the Taraweeh Salah. He who stands for his Taraweeh Salah with sincere faith, with genuine hope in earning reward and the pleasure of his cherisher, Allah Ta'ala forgives his sins. Minor sins are forgiven by means of these virtues. But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala inspires us to seek repentance, pardon for our major sins too. And even the major sins are forgiven. So the environment is very conducive. This is a month where we can learn and imbibe ourselves with the quality of taqwa. Because this is one of the goals of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for the nations before you, so that you may acquire the quality of taqwa. We hear this term time and again, taqwa. In simple words, taqwa means to be careful, to be wary, to be careful not to displease our Creator. Whatever word we utter, whatever action we do, whatever step we take, weigh the pros and cons. Will my Allah be pleased with what I am saying and doing? Will He be displeased? If He is pleased, go ahead. Say those words. Do those actions that will please Allah. If within the heart of our hearts we know that Allah will be displeased, then immediately discard that act. Discard that type of speech, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa essentially means to be wary, to be careful. In this month is a training ground for taqwa. A person is fasting. He is all alone in his house. The refrigerator is replete, full of goodies, full of delicacies. All alone in the house. He is fasting. He knows I cannot open and break my fast until sunset. No household member to monitor him. He can open the refrigerator, eat and drink to his heart's content. But what happens? He knows that I am fasting for the pleasure of my Lord and my Creator. He is watching over me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah is watching over you. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does man not know that Allah Ta'ala is monitoring all his movements? If this realization that we have in the month of Ramadan with regard to our fasting, if it were to remain even throughout the year, throughout our life, we can well imagine how successful we will be. May Allah Ta'ala imbue this quality of taqwa within us in every dimension, every walk of our lives. So everything is conducive to us coming close to our Creator. Taqwa also means to discard every type of sin. Because when one is wary, cautious and conscious that his Creator is monitoring his every move, he will discard all types of sinning. Which is why some pious predecessors have described taqwa in this way: خَلِّفْ ذُنُوبَ كُلَّهَا دِقَّهَا وَجِلَّهَا سِرَّهَا وَعَلَانِيَتَهَا. That leave all types of sins throughout your lives, minor and major sins. Those sins that are committed in public, leave them out as well. Those that you commit behind closed doors, discard them as well. That is the essence of taqwa. Even the name that Allah Ta'ala chose for this blessed month, that also gives us a lot of inspiration that inshallah it is easy to secure our forgiveness and maghfirat. Ramadan is the name of this month. Literally, in the Arabic lexicon, one of the meanings of Ramadan Yarmudu means to burn away something, to melt away something. So Ramadan is called, why Ramadan? لِأَنَّهُ يَرْمُضُ الدُّنُوبُ. It burns away, it melts away, it wipes away our gunas, our sins. We can have a clean sheet, a clean slate by the time this month ends. So conducive is the environment that it is no wonder that the famous hadith that we hear, where Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed onto the minbar, and he uttered three curses, to which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ameen. One of them was that woe betide that person who experiences the month of Ramadan and he cannot have his forgiveness secured by repenting sincerely for his sins. To that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. Because when factors are conducive, easy to attain forgiveness, yet we do not attain that forgiveness, then surely we are making ourselves a target for the curse of Jibreel alayhi salam and for the Ameen of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even the word gives us inspiration. Some ulama have taken out finer points from the word Ramadan. The hadith tells us about this month that Shahrun awwaluhu rahmah. This month is divided in three portions. The first portion is that of rahmat. Allah Ta'ala's mercy abounds throughout the month. But in the first third of the month, the first section of the month, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descends beyond our imagination. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the first part of this month is rahmat. Allah chose the word Ramadan for this month. The first letter of Ramadan is also Ra, indicating rahmat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. The second portion of this month comprises of maghfirat, forgiveness for our sins. The name Ramadan, what is the second letter? Mim, for maghfirat. The name is also so inspiring. The third part of the month, itkum minan nar, emancipation, freedom, amnesty from the fire of Jahannam. When Allah Ta'ala will give us that amnesty, that emancipation, that freedom, then where will we go to? Inshallah, into Jannat. In Jannat, Allah Ta'ala will make ziyafat of us. Ziyafat meaning, Allah will show His hospitality. So the third letter of the month of Ramadan, Ba'd, indicating ziyafat, hospitality in Jannat. When Allah will make our hospitality, He will show His in'am, His favors. The next letter is Alif, which is the first letter of in'am, favors upon us. And when Allah Ta'ala favors us, what will we acquire? Ni'mat, bounties. The last letter of Ramadan, Noon, for ni'mat. So this month, even the name itself is inspiring. It also teaches us a lesson that Shariat encourages choosing good names. Today the names that we choose for our children, sometimes it is mind-boggling. Names that have weird meanings. Sometimes names that have no meanings at all. Names that sound like Christian names, we keeping for our Muslim children. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encourages us, advises us in the hadith, أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ. But these names sound too bland for us, too simple for us. too basic. Yet Nabi Sallam says, "Ahabbul asma ilallah," the most beloved name in the sight of Allah is a name like Abdullah, Abdurrahman, because it indicates servitude to the Creator. Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Abdurrahman, the servant of the compassionate. So names that carry the attributes of Allah, Abdurrahim, Abdul Hanan, Abdul Mannan, we are encouraged to keep these type of names. In some hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also encourages us that keep the name of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. These are good names. Alhamdulillah, the Gujarati community is very far ahead in this. Every second, third person is either Muhammad, Ismail, Ibrahim, Ayyub, Ahmad, and so forth and so on. So these are also good names. We ought to keep these names with the intention that if it's Abdullah, Allah Ta'ala creates that realization of servitude to Allah. If the name of a Nabi is kept, the name of a Sahabi is kept, with the intention that Allah Ta'ala creates those salient and sublime qualities in my child. Today we want to choose names that just must sound nice. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Makki Sahib Daud Barakatuhum, who delivers discourses in the Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Urdu. Many people may have seen, mostly Pakistani people gather around him. He also visited this country some years ago. He gave a talk in this very same masjid. Once he explained that some acquaintance of his happened to become a father. So the mother said to the husband, to the father of the child, "Go to Maulana, ask him to suggest some name for the child." It was a girl. So the Maulana suggested, "Keep the name Aisha, the beloved wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." He went happily. The wife chucks him out of the house, "Go back to Maulana. This name is too common and too bland, too simple." The wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beloved wife, the most beloved, and we find this name too simple. The wife wanted something that is music to the ears. It must have a good ringing bell, something exotic. So he came back to Maulana. Hazrat Maulana says, "I suggested Khadija." He went, the wife sends him back. Too simple. Fatima, too simple for him. Eventually Maulana became annoyed and he said, "Tell her to keep the name Mona Lisa." Because that's what she wants. They want a name with a fancy ring. Simple names are too bland, too simple. Yet these are the names loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One foolish person, he had three sons. The first one he named Ahmad Mujtaba. Ahmad alone is fine, but Mujtaba attached to Ahmad, immediately the mind goes to who? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he can't join the two, but nevertheless he kept Ahmad Mujtaba. When he got the second son, he kept the name Muhammad Mustafa. When the third son was born, he's thinking of a name, he thought something that rhymes with it. He was thinking of Ali Murtada. But someone, by way of castigating him, said to him that, "Why are you spoiling the sequence? Keep the third one's name Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that you can gather the whole of Nabuwat in your home. You can put your three sons in a line and say Ahmad Mujtaba, Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." That is the condition. So we are advised to keep good names. In Islam, taking a good feeling and good omen from something is permissible. But superstition and taking a bad omen from something, that is impermissible. So the name Ramadan, we take a good feeling, good meaning, good omen out of it. As I mentioned, represents rahmat, maghfirat, hospitality from Allah. Then inshallah we will be blessed with all his virtues. So superstition is not allowed. For example, a person believes that by walking under a ladder, some calamity will occur, that is bad luck. This is rubbish, not acceptable in Sharia to have this belief. Or because a black cat darted across the road, to feel something will happen, bad luck will occur. In Sharia, that's not permissible to believe this. The mirror broke, some tragedy going to come. No such belief in our Sharia. But taking a good omen is permissible. Someone is ill in the home, sickly. A man comes to visit him. His name is Salim, or his name is Salim. From the word Salamat, Salim. Now to take a good meaning, a good omen, that inshallah, because the person visited him, whose name means peace, comfort, security, inshallah this sick person will be cured. He will see comfort, solace, security, and he will become peaceful and have a healthy life. That is a good omen that is permissible. Or someone loses a valuable item, searching for it, you can't find it. Someone enters a room by the name of Wajid. Wajid means the one who finds. Now to take a good meaning, good omen, that alhamdulillah, because Wajid has entered the room, inshallah we'll find the item, and hopefully you will find it, that is a good omen. Or battle is raging on the battlefield, and the battle is very difficult. Muslims outnumbered, and the robust Pathan comes onto the battlefield. His name is Fateh Khan. And you say, because Fateh Khan came, Fateh means victory, now you will get victory, inshallah, you will see victory. So to take a good omen is permissible. So keep good names of your children, and you will see the beauty of that. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will be celebrating Eid. Even the word Eid, so beautifully chosen, comes from Ada Ya'udu, for something to return time and again. So the name is kept Eid, taking a good meaning, good omen into account, that the day is called Yawmul Eid, with the intention that may Allah Ta'ala bring this day of joy and happiness into our lives time and again, over and over again. So this month of Ramadan leaving us many salient features of this month. We will not be enjoying now. خَلُوفُ فُمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمِسْكِ. The stale odor that emanates from the mouth of a fasting person, we feel uncomfortable when we smell that. But the hadith tells us that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more fragrant to Allah ta'ala than even the fragrance of musk. Another salient feature, يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمُ الْحِيْتَانِ حَتَّى يُفْتِرُوا. Even the fish of the ocean make dua istighfar for the fasting person. Where will we see this beauty out of the month of Ramadan? يُزَيِّنُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ جَنَّتَهُ. In this month, Allah adorns and beautifies our abode in Jannah every day. This is done in the month of Ramadan. صُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Shayateen put under lock and key. Where else will we find this? غُفِرَ لَهُ فِي آخِرِ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانَ. The fasting person is forgiven in the last night of Ramadan. If he did not repent for his sins, we have a few hours left. Last night, today, repent for our sins. Allah is still prepared to forgive. Where will we find these salient and sublime features out of the month of Ramadan? But we have to part with it. Yes, we can make dua that no matter how weak our ibadat was, Allah is there to accept. Keep hope in the mercy of Allah that inshallah He will accept our ibadat, accept our repentance, make us pure and cleanse of sins like newborn babies, inshallah. And tomorrow is a day of prize giving. Tonight, the night coming, is also the night of prize giving. When Allah Ta'ala and the Farishta are also happy. On the night of Eid, we are being allotted, allocated prizes for our ibadat, rewards. On the day of Eid, farishtas line either side of the roads to welcome the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about the red carpet treatment, which king, president of the world, non-Muslim, can be given this honor that farishtas line the sides of the road, tell the Eidgah, to give them glad tidings. And they ask Allah Ta'ala, what is the payment for that person who has completed his labor? Rather, Allah Ta'ala asks the farishtas, and farishtas reply that the laborer should be given his payment in full. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I have given them my payment. I hold you as witness that by my honor, by my grandeur, by my majesty, I have forgiven all these people. Return from the Eidgah in such a way that I am pleased with you and you are pleased with me. This is the day we're going to see tomorrow. If we spend this coming night also properly, then inshallah we'll be given these glad tidings. It is our habit when the night of Eid comes, we find our youth and even adults enjoying, celebrating in such a way that is beyond description, bound, crossing the parameters of Sharia, whereas this coming night is also a night of ibadat. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of spending it fruitfully and give us health and life to see many, many, many more months of Ramadan, and Allah accept from us, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.